Regret. Regret. The things I could have done differently or learned sooner. There's so much knowledge out there, so much information, so many ways to get better. And we make so many mistakes. We are the product of our mistakes. And oftentimes the lesson is sitting in front of our face, there to be learned. But we miss it. Or we don't pay attention to it. Or we think we know better. Until it punches us in the face. The most important thing to learn is that we have so much to learn. We all do. You have to open your mind, free your mind, so that you can learn and make real progress.
I do think that if you sit on the edge of your bed and things aren't going very well for you, and you ask what foolish thing you're doing to make it worse, that you'll get an answer right now. And it won't be the one you want, but it might be the one that if you listen to would set things straight. It might be something that you really don't want to contend with. But if you clear some space to meditate on that, the probability that you'll figure out something that you did that was stupid, that's bending you and twisting you in the wind, you'll get an answer.
How to do it. Wake up every morning, make your bed, take a cold shower, all that crap. I'm telling you right now, you have to be that person that leads from the front. And many of our leaders right now are not leading from the front. They're leading from the rear, but they're telling you how to do it. They're waking up late. They're not doing what they say. So in life, it's real important to do what you say, because that's where true knowledge comes from.
See, when you begin to understand and acknowledge your fear, and you go forth anyhow, you go forth in a spirit and a knowing that there's a way that you can begin to handle this. There's a way out here somewhere. There's a solution. What it is that you're seeking, that you have the capacity to whatever comes up, to handle it, to face it. And rather than feeling powerless, you begin to feel powerful. But there are few people who have decided within themselves, I'm going to make it. Some people aren't waiting to be cut. Some people are moving on their own because they feel within themselves, I've got what it takes to make it.
Fight. Go down swinging. And I'll tell you, if you fight with all you have, more often than not, you won't go down at all. You will win. But you have to make that attitude a part of your everyday life. Do the extra repetition. Run the extra mile. Go the extra round. Make the right choices. Give the full measure. Make yourself stronger, mentally and physically. Stand and fight.
What you most want to be found will be found where you least want to look, essentially. And it's so interesting because it means that if you're willing to turn around and to stand up straight and face the darkness, like fully, what you discover at the darkest part is the brightest light. And that's something that's so much worth discovering, because there's going to be terrible darkness in your life, and it's going to make you cynical and bitter, and it could easily be that you're just not looking at it enough. Because if you looked at it enough and you didn't shy away and you brought everything you had to bear on it, you'd find that there was more to you than there was to the horror.
The desire is strong, but the dedication is weak. Desire is what you feel, but dedication will always expose what's real, all right? Dedication will always expose what's real. Desire doesn't create lasting change. Dedication does. So my question to you right now is, how dedicated are you? I mean, how dedicated are you? Are you dedicated past the level of your support? So if people don't support you, are you still dedicated to it? Are you dedicated past the level of your recognition? If people don't recognize you or give you validation, are you still dedicated to it? Most people get give up on their dreams when they don't get those things.
Suffering is a byproduct of the unknown. And that's why we will project out into the future and go, what if? Because suffering does introduce a man, or discomfort does introduce a man or a woman to their highest self. I call it the other room. Like in your head, in everybody's head, like there's this other place that you can go to. You may have been there before. And this other room, this other place, you get to meet your other self.
You see, the very thing that's supposed to be your demise can be the thing that gives you your elevation. It's at that moment of elevation that you don't sit there and you celebrate, look, I made it. No, you realize that the reward was the journey. It's what it cost you to get here, because if someone had simply gave it to you, it wouldn't have any value. Greatness is in you. There is no way that you can let life pass and end up wondering why you ran out of time.
When you look at some of the most successful high performers, it might be tempting to say that they were born this way. They're talented. End of story. In fact, talent, while undeniably making life easier, is but one part of the equation. I used to be a shy and fearful person. However, my apparent misfortune turned out to be a source of strength, because it provided a spark to introduce big changes in my life. By continuously pushing my comfort zone, I not only overcame social shyness and improved my communication skills, but also developed high self-confidence and overcame other fears in my life. I might not have been born with the talent to be a people person. I still prefer solitude to crowds. But with self-discipline and consistent work, I still achieved astounding results. Next time, before you complain that you don't have a talent for something or weren't born this way, remind yourself that self-discipline, in many situations, can more than make up for a lack of inborn traits. Life's easy when you live it the hard way, and hard if you try to live it the easy way. Self-discipline means living your life the hard way, resisting temptations and instant gratification in order to receive bigger and better rewards in the future. It's certainly easier to avoid all kinds of discomfort and indulge yourself whenever you want, but in the end, all that you get from that approach is fleeting pleasure now at the expense of your future, which otherwise could have been much better. Consider a weak-willed person who, when faced with a challenge, immediately opt out. How likely is this person to achieve anything substantial in life if their primary value is to feel comfortable? How is this person going to manage a crisis that they must face? Even a relatively insignificant problem can become an insurmountable obstacle for a person who's been living a sheltered life and always avoided what's difficult or disagreeable. Now, contrast that with a person who voluntarily makes his or her life harder. They seek out and welcome challenges as opportunities to grow. Each self-imposed affliction strengthens them so that fewer and fewer difficulties in life overwhelm them. Day by day, they immunize themselves against problems, precisely because they seek them out. When life deals them an unexpected blow, they're ready to handle it because, thanks to living their lives the hard way, they're always ready for hardships. Your choices are made in a moment, but their consequences will transcend a lifetime. Humans have the capacity to act against their urges in exchange for a better future. Unfortunately, many people live by the principle of, if it feels good, do it, and if it doesn't, don't do it. Caving into your temptations whenever you feel them emerge is like relinquishing your humanity in a way. As an intelligent human being, you have an ability, and I dare say an obligation, to make decisions that are based on rational thinking, not on your instincts alone. Strive to be a better human and embrace your humanity by exercising your willpower muscle instead of succumbing to your most primal and least helpful for your long-term goals. Part of the brain, your most primal instincts, may provide temporary comfort, but seldom are good for the long term, except when there is a direct threat to your survival.
If you study a subject every day for 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, in 5 years, you will become an expert in that area. Some things simply have to be done every day. You know the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, eating 7 apples all at once isn't going to give you the same benefit. If you want to improve, intentional growth needs to be a habit. A habit is something I do continually, not once in a while. Motivation may get you going, but the positive habits you develop and practice consistently are what keep you improving. As I have worked to improve on a day-by-day basis, 2 words have helped me to stay on track. The first is intention. Every morning as I start my day, I intend to learn something that day. This develops a mindset in me to look for things that will help me improve. The other word is contemplation. Time alone is an essential for self-improvement. When I spend time thinking about my challenges, experiences, and observations, it allows me to gain perspective. I can evaluate any losses, and I can learn from them. Contemplation time by myself also gives me time to do positive self-talk. Motivational humorist Earl Walker stated, "The most important words you will ever utter are those words we say to ourselves, about ourselves, when we are by ourselves." During these conversations, we can beat ourselves up and make ourselves feel really small, or we can learn and build ourselves up so that we become better. If you want to spend some time each day to try to improve yourself, you might want to begin by asking yourself 3 questions at the end of the day, as I do. They are, what did I learn today? What spoke both to my heart and my head? How did I grow today? What touched my heart and affected my actions? What will I do differently? Unless I can state specifically what I plan to do differently, I won't learn anything. One of the things I don't do is compare myself to others during that time. There's a reason for that. My desire is to not become superior to anybody else. I only want to be superior to my former self. Intention and contemplation assist me in doing that. Make improvement intentional. Improvement is within the reach of anyone, no matter how experienced or green, educated or ignorant, rich or poor. To start improving today, do these 3 things. Decide you are worth improving to improve yourself. You must believe you can improve. Author Dennis Whitley has a wonderful definition for personal development. He says that it is the conviction that there is value in your dreams. Personal development, he says, is the belief that you are worth the effort, time, and energy needed to develop yourself. It gives you permission to invest in yourself so you can develop your own potential. You can invest in yourself. You don't need anyone's dreams but your own. And you don't need to become anyone other than yourself at your best. The great philosopher Thomas Carlyle once wrote, "Let each become all that he was created capable of being." I can't think of a better definition of success. Life challenges us every day to develop our capabilities to the fullest. We're successful when we reach for the highest. That's within us. When we give the best we have, life doesn't require us to always come out on top. It asks only that we do our best to improve at whatever level of experience we are currently on. Pick an area to improve. You will have plenty of time to improve other areas of your life. Focus on the one now that makes the most of your strengths and is closest to your sense of purpose. I'm suggesting you to spend an hour a day improving in that area. Then take it slow but steady. We always overestimate what we can get done in a day or a week, but we underestimate what we can get done in a year. Just imagine what you will be able to get done in 5 years. Find opportunities to improve in the wake of your losses. Focused, strategic improvement is important to success. But so is learning from our losses as they come. However, let me say this. Some lessons in life cannot wait. You must make the most of them when they occur. If you don't examine what went wrong while the details are fresh, you may lose the ability to learn the lesson. Besides, if you neglect to learn the lesson immediately, you may experience the loss again. Business professor George Knox said, "When you cease to be better, you cease to be good." When you stop growing, you cease to be useful, a weed in the garden of prosperity. We are what we are today because we were what we were yesterday, and our thoughts today determine our actions tomorrow. Those who learn from their losses give themselves that permission. As your friend, I give it to you also. Knowledge may come from study, but wisdom comes from learning and improving in the wake of your mistakes. I always try to remember that I am a work in progress. When I maintain that perspective, I realize that I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have it all together. I don't need to try to have all the answers, and I don't need to learn everything in a day. When I make a mistake, it's not because I'm a failure or worthless. I just didn't do something right because I still haven't improved enough in some part of the process. And that motivates me to keep growing and improving. If I don't know something, it's an opportunity to try to improve in a new area. I'm in it for the long haul. I try to be like industrialist Ian McGregor, who said, "I work on the same principle as people who train horses. You start with low fences, easily achieved goals, and work up." When I got started, my fences were embarrassingly low, but in time I was able to raise them. Today, I'm still raising them little by little. That's the only way I know how to keep improving. And I always want to keep doing that because improvement is the focus of learning.